Welcome back to the guidebook, everybody. This week on the show, we're talking to Polly Clover. She is an SEO expert and copywriter. She created a course on SEO blogging. I highly recommend you check it out. The link is in the description below. But more on that later. First, we're going to talk about how Polly moved abroad multiple times, quit teaching to become a freelance writer, and how Polly went from I have no idea what I'm doing to SEO expert. Buckle up, everybody. This one is full of practical nuggets of information that you can apply to your very own freelance writing career and SEO skills. This is the guidebook. We're sharing tips for freelancers, raw conversations with risk takers, how to become a digital nomad, and the emotions behind it all. I'm your host, Rachel. On the show, I share everything I've learned in the past 5 years of freelancing and living nomadically, showing you how you can work to live instead of living to work. I'm interviewing some of my favorite digital nomads and entrepreneurs to help you unlock your bravest self. If you want to become a freelancer or a digital nomad, this is the podcast for you.
I'm Polly. I am an SEO copywriter and consultant. Currently live in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and I typically work with brands that are in the travel and wellness space. I really focus on working with brands that just inspire the good life. That's kind of what I'm all about. Adventure, traveling, mental health, all the good stuff.
Let's start back at the beginning. You started traveling before you started freelancing. How did you make that happen? What sort of like sparked your, you had some long adventures in the beginning.
I did. Yeah. And that all started before freelance writing was even a thing in my world, before I even knew it existed. I had been teaching. I was an elementary school public teacher, and I had been doing that for about 5 years, and I was just incredibly burnt out and also just broke and really didn't see any way out. So I kind of just one day said, like, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. I hopped on Google and just kind of quickly and randomly found something about teaching abroad, and really within about a week of that Google search, I had found a program to get my TEFL certification through, which is teaching English as a foreign language, and had put my notice in at my teaching job. And within, I guess, about 6 months or so, I had moved to Vietnam to teach English there.
That's huge. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that was an awesome experience. Teachers over there are a lot more valued. Their pay aligns much better with the cost of living there. So all was well. And I was kind of excited to be able to keep teaching, but also have a healthy lifestyle. But then I broke my foot while I was over there, and I had to quit my teaching job. So, So I was over in Vietnam without a job. I had kind of been teaching a little bit online, so that was like a little bit of money coming in, but I knew that it wasn't going to sustain me, and it definitely wasn't going to let me continue living that lifestyle. So I kind of just, the freelance writing thing just happened. I was kind of, you know, stuck in bed with a broken foot, and I had done like a couple of random blog articles for travel bloggers that I had met while I was traveling. And I don't know, it just turned into doing small projects like that and getting paid to do it. And yeah, so between teaching online and little writing projects like that, I continue to travel around Southeast Asia for about a year and a half. Yeah. And then I came back home right before the pandemic started. And that's when I really dove into freelance writing.
That's wild. I did not realize you did that for so long.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was definitely the best experience of my life.
Yeah. That's a huge adventure.
Yeah. And it really opened up my eyes to like, when I was teaching, I really only ever saw me working 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Like I kind of thought like if I didn't work a whole bunch that I was lazy and that I would always be broke. Turns out if I had just continued teaching the way that I was, no matter how many hours I worked, I would have just stayed broke forever. Wow. But yeah, and so traveling and just, yeah, getting to meet a lot of different people and do something different, it just really opened my eyes to like, oh, there's more out there. There are other ways of living life.
Yeah, the change of scenery and the change of the people that you're around is such a big deal when you're trying to make a shift in your life. Like continuing to be in the same environment with the same people who had the mindset that you're trying to shift out of is not going to help you get anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Especially when you're like from this tiny town in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Surrounded by a lot of people. I mean, I had never left the country before. So me getting on a plane with a one-way ticket to a foreign country was like, people really thought that there was something wrong with me. I wasn't even sure what I was doing. And yeah, now looking back, I'm like, that was literally the best thing I have ever done.
Yeah, so. Truly. Was it scary?
Weirdly, no. Like if I actually think like really hard about it, no. Like I think the easy answer is yeah, but I think because I was so ready for something different, the excitement and just also the relief of having quit my job and doing something different. No, I don't think the feeling of being scared, like, you know, of course, there were times when I was over there and all alone and I had like gone through a breakup and, you know, all these things. There were moments while I was there where I was like, oh gosh. But overall, no, like only good things.
Yeah, I can tell just like the way you talk about it. It's very genuine. You're very excited. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I know that we've like talked about it before. I just did not realize how long you were there and how big of an adventure that really was for you.
Yeah.
You got started sort of like bits and pieces freelancing, but when you got home, is that when you really like buckled down during the pandemic and your career sort of, your freelance career in particular took off?
Yes. So I actually got another teaching job for an online school, like in the States. And I was doing that. It took me a long time to like be done with teaching altogether. I mean, when there's something you thought you wanted to do for like 20 years of your life, like I spent like 20 years, like, I'm going to be a teacher. I mean, when I was a kid, I was like teaching my doll babies. Like all I ever knew. So yes, when I got back home, we were in the middle of a pandemic. I was teaching online, but I was also doing part-time freelancing. I was able to like really get more regular clients. So I was doing that part-time and then also teaching part-time. And then it was about I taught for that school online for about a year and it was not a good year. Like I did not enjoy that teaching experience at all. And I kind of think I needed that because all of my other teaching experiences, like I loved teaching. I just didn't love the lack of money and support and all of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that last teaching job that I had that year was just not good. And so it was two summers
ago. It's like an on again, off again relationship.
Yeah. A very toxic on again, off again. Yeah. Relationship. But yeah. So two summers ago is when I said, okay, this is it. Writing is my thing. And I went full time in my business 2 years ago, like right at this time.
I feel like we've talked about this a little bit. How did you get your first clients? Did you immediately start on Upwork or was that something that you sort
of did
both? Yeah.
Yes. So my first like real and, you know, like long-term client was on Upwork. They paid me $30 a blog article and I worked for them for about 2 years. They did give me a little more over time, but.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's quite low.
Yeah.
I also feel like Upwork, I was on Upwork from 2018 to 2020, and I feel like since 2020, Upwork has changed so much to the point where I don't even really want to recommend it to people anymore. It's the same amount of effort, it feels like, to get clients as it would be to just use LinkedIn, and you're paying money to use it. And it's like, unless you really genuinely have no idea what companies you want to maybe potentially target, which if you don't know that, I feel like maybe you just need to like do some more brainstorming, but it just feels so different. It feels so much harder to get gigs, and the pay, you're getting like a gem, like a needle in a haystack if you get a client that's going to pay you well.
Yeah. And I think I have a different experience with Upwork because, like you said, I started it when it was still, when it wasn't so saturated, and it's now become, I guess, more of the norm on Upwork for like clients just to expect that they're just going to find writers who will charge nothing. And that wasn't really, I mean, it was definitely a thing when I started Upwork, but now it's like, yeah, so much more. And I think I have a different experience on it even now because, I mean, my clients on Upwork now are all people that I've worked with for a long time.
Yeah.
But I also think that my profile, because I've built it up so much, I have a ton of reviews, it shows how much I've earned on there, all of those things. I think that really,
that contributes to your experience.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, I think Upwork will push you as a recommendation for people if you have a good profile.
Right. And I think my profile and the way that I've built it up over the years really pushes away those kind of clients. They don't even bother with me, I guess. So I don't get those like weird clients that are like, can you write this art? Can you write 100 articles per week for me for $20? Like they just don't even bother with me. But I know that people that are getting on it more recently are experiencing that.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder now. If you're starting out now, it's more challenging. Yes. I feel like if I went back on there, I would be fine. But that's because I spent 2 years
building
my profile and it looks really good. But yeah, it's definitely challenging. So why did you choose to continue freelancing after you quit teaching? Was it like to facilitate the lifestyle that you wanted? Was it more just like, this is the escape route and it happened to be successful? All the above?
No, honestly, the very first blog article I ever wrote, like the very first like long form piece of content that wasn't for school that I ever wrote was for that TEFL Academy that I got my certificate to teach English through. They had like reached out and said like they just wanted to add more content to their blog of experiences of people that went through the program. So I actually wrote a couple of blog articles for them while I was traveling, and I just loved it. Like I loved writing, and I never knew that. I didn't know that I enjoyed writing. When I started like dabbling in freelance writing, I was, just really enjoyed it. And so, not only did I like doing it, but it also supported the lifestyle I wanted, which was not essentially being told what to do. I wanted to just do what I wanted to do. I had the freedom of traveling by myself for a year and a half and got to do what I wanted. So I didn't want to come back to the States and start working for someone. So freelancing,
that's what I feel about.
It just let me work when I wanted to work, work as much as I wanted to work, charge as much as I wanted to charge, all the things. So
Speaking of charging as much as you wanted to charge, since you joined Pop Club, I remember when you joined Pop Club, you were still like charging pretty low rates for your writing services. And I feel like that's changed a lot. You've gotten a lot bigger clients that are charging more. What did that progression look like for you? What was your strategy and your method, and how did it feel? I feel our feelings get in the way so much of what we charge. And I feel like you're like the number one person I know that could attest to this.
Yes, I am a serial undercharger. I still am. 5 years in, I still am. I have endless advice for freelancers or people that are aspiring to be freelancers. But from experience, my number one piece is charge more. 99% of writers are not charging what they should be charging, I bet. Like, I feel like they could be charging more. So yeah, I said, that first paid job was $30 an article. We've come a long way since then.
Yeah.
But I think when I first started, the big thing was I did not know a single other freelance writer. I had no idea. So that was the biggest thing. And then I was reading a bunch of stuff on the internet, but there's so much out there. You don't really know what to go by. Like, there's so much content and so many people saying how much you should charge and how you should charge and all of that. So it really wasn't actually until I met you, what, 2 or 3 years ago, when I actually had like a real person who had been doing this, like talk me through how to charge. And I think at that point I had already established a good client base. So then it was even harder because I felt like really just guilty almost. If I were to have then charged probably what I should have a couple years ago, it would have been me like doubling my rates. Yeah. So now
you're
I like just
afraid to let go. You're afraid to raise your rates with those people, and you're afraid to let go of your clients to replace them with new clients who could pay your new rates because you had established stability. It seems like, I mean, back then it felt like stability was more important to you than necessarily like making what you wanted to make. But now over time,
And I just never really had like the best relationship with money. I didn't grow up around good examples of how to earn or spend money or anything involved with money. So like money has always been just weird. I don't know of a better word to use, like a weird thing. And because of all of that, not like a conscious thing, but subconsciously, I think I've never felt like I deserve to earn enough money to be comfortable. So if it felt like a lot of money, then I wasn't going to charge that amount. And it's really only been probably in the past year with a lot of work, like personal work, to where I'm past that. So now I am comfortable charging what I should be charging and feel a lot more confident. I don't have that imposter syndrome or the guilt or any of those things anymore.
That's a big deal. I think it's really underrated. We talk about it a lot in Pop Club, and I talk about it in Camp Moxie in like the first chapter, that you have to like tackle your money mindset head on. Also, if you're listening to this and you want to work on your money mindset, there's a free money mindset workbook in my shop. You can download it and fill it out on your computer or print it out and fill it out. That I revisit the workbook.
I will say it is very helpful. Yes, I've done it myself. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the big people who get into freelancing or anyone that starts their own business and they've never been in charge of how much they can earn, really. I mean, you kind of are, I guess, to a degree, but I think more people have, I don't want to say a negative money mindset, but like, I don't know. I think a lot of people just don't even know even what they think about money or how their nervous system feels about it.
I think you really have to sit down and like examine it head on. It's not necessarily something that you think of in high def all the time. Like maybe it's in the back of your mind. Maybe you know it's happening. Maybe you like treat money in a certain way and you realize that that's probably because of how you were raised. But if you actually sit down and write down these things, you'll realize how much you have the power to change it. This is like the free resource. If you're going to take advantage of any free resource, this is the one, because it will actually change your life. And it seems so woo woo and silly, but like it has been life changing for me. I also recorded a podcast about this where I talked all about my childhood and my money mindset and why I had to change it. I went through a very similar thing where I felt like I had to work really hard to make any money. I didn't deserve it. And because that's how my parents are. Like they have their own business and they have my entire life, but they have worked so hard and they continue to work so hard. My mom will answer the phone at like 9 o'clock at night for a work call. I'm like, who? No one's done. You own a car repair shop. They can just tow their car to your shop. They're adults. They're adults.
Yeah. I know. Crazy. Yeah. I listened to that podcast of yours as well. And I was like, is this me talking? Yeah, the same thing. My mom is in her 70s and she's been retired for a long time and she still works.
That's crazy. And
I don't want that to be me. I want to, like my new motto is work to live, not live to work. And so I tell myself that and I think that constantly.
Yeah. It's so important. And I mean, like, set your values for yourself. If you know what you want and need and make goals for yourself and just work on your mindset, it'll change everything. I didn't know. I was like you when I first started. I had only had like jobs where I was an employee and people told me what I made. I'd never made more than $18 an hour. And I thought that was good. And now I make like $100, $150 an hour. And that's a completely different. Life is just so much easier now. And some of that is like because I'm more experienced, but I should have been charging more much earlier. And I'm glad I worked with a business coach that essentially held my hands while I changed my rates because I was so scared to charge more. And now I'm like, I remember when I first started freelancing and I raised my rates to $35 an hour, I felt sick. Mm-hmm. And now if I see someone charging less than $30 an hour starting out, I'm like, stop right there. Don't get any clients. Charge more.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. I think it's important to realize right now in 2023, if you're living in the US, $30 an hour is the minimum to live comfortably. And I mean, I know there are so many people that make less than that and they make it work and good for them. Like they're an inspiration, but like you should be making more than that. Even as beginners,
you don't have to make less than that. It is possible. Like you just need to find the right clients who are willing to pay it. And it might take a little bit longer, but it's well worth holding out for someone who can pay you more. Also, because as a freelancer, you're losing a high percentage of your income to taxes and healthcare, things that your employer used to pay for. So that you have to factor that in. It's not like you're getting $30 an hour and you're taking home all of that money.
Right. And I think that's a big thing too. A lot of your hours are not billable. So there's a lot of time that you spend working, but you're not doing client work. You're doing marketing or learning or growing your skills. Like you're doing a lot of things outside of client work. So if you're doing client work 20 hours a week, charging $30 an hour, but you're actually working 40 hours a week because you do a lot of non-billable work, you're making half of that. So I think I mentioned this a bit ago, but I now increase my rates with every new client. And I always calculate for that when I think about what I want to make per hour. I think about the amount of time I'm working also that isn't billable hours. So.
Yeah. If you're also, let's make another plug, shameless plug. You can buy the rates calculator that we share in Pop Club and Camp Moxie. That's how I set my rates personally. And it's how I recommend everybody sets their rates. It's based on your financial needs, not just market rates and things like that. You can get it in my shop. It's very affordable and it is well worth it. And you can use it over and over again. Like I revisit it quarterly to make sure that my rates are high enough to make what I want to make. And it'll account for your debt and your savings goals and your investment goals and all of that. It was life-changing to me to learn to set my rates on what I need to make rather than what other people on Upwork are charging.
Yeah. And I think that's the big thing. We go on Google or wherever or, you know, whatever, whoever we're following on Instagram, or and we see like, okay, well, this person charges this much, or people say that you should charge this much. But it's like everyone is different. Every person's experience and lifestyle and all the things. So you have to do what works for you.
It's your business. You are the boss. You decide how much money you charge. You decide how much you make. And if you're feeling discouraged because you're not getting clients who are willing to pay that, you either need to build up your experience. I always say 3 clients in a niche makes that your niche. So if you're like trying to change niches or you're just starting out and you feel like an imposter, just try to get 3 clients at whatever they'll pay. If you're doing blogs, just do 3 articles for them and drop them if they're not paying enough. Like that's fine. That is perfectly acceptable to do. It gets them in your portfolio. It gets you client experience. It gets you niche experience. You do get paid. And then with every client, like Polly said, just raise your rates, raise them until you get to the point where you want to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
You've done a lot of career development. I know you've done like courses and coaching and things like that. What do you think has helped your freelance career the most, or what resources have you used to grow?
Honestly, experience and just doing the thing is where I have learned the most. I have done endless research. I can't even imagine how many hours I've spent on Google. You know, I have taken a couple of courses, but I think experience has been the biggest thing. And then honestly, I mean, you know, I've been in Pop Club for how long? Like since the beginning. I don't even know when you started this.
I think it's been two and a half years. Yeah, almost 3 years.
Yeah, so I mean, truthfully, if I'm being honest, this is the community. I think I've had one other coach that I've worked with very briefly, and I did like a couple of her workshops, but that was like in the very, very beginning. So yeah, I think like, I mean, this community and just being able to ask all the questions, and you have endless resources, I feel like. So yeah, and then just practice, really. I mean, you can, you know, research all the things, but I just think doing it is how you get, yeah, how you learn the things and get the experience. And like I said, I have taken a couple of courses, so it's been nice to take those courses, learn those things, and then find out, and then, you know, put those things that I learn into practice and find out what really works for me. And
what do you, or is there anything that you recommend for resources or courses or anything like that?
Well, I mean, my course is pretty amazing.
Shout it out, please. Amplify.
So, I guess going back to that, like I said, I have spent hours and hours and hours on Google. I've also been doing it, freelancing, writing, doing the things for the last 5 years. So finally, a few months ago, I compiled what I found works and kind of just created the one course that I wish I had had. It comes to learning how to write SEO blogs. Like I said, that's what I specialize in. And there is so much room for freelance writers who write SEO blogs. That's what businesses need. I created the course that I wish that I would have had when I started that has everything you need to know about writing SEO blogs for clients or for yourself if you're a business owner. It's really helpful. And then I also have a more scaled back, condensed version of that in my blogging toolbox. So when it comes to learning how to write blogs with confidence, blogs that drive results, I think my resources are probably the best.
I highly recommend Polly's course. It is endorsed by me for sure. I love one of the things that I've always liked about the way that you share your work online, even before you made your course, is that you always share stats from your clients. You're always like, you know, this blog is performing in this way, or this blog post is ranking, or, you know, you're sharing results, which I think A, gets you more clients and builds your reputation really well, but it's also proof that you know what you're doing. And that's part of why I trust, I mean, I trust you anyway, because I've known you for this long. But if I didn't know you, that would be like the number one reason I would buy your course, because you are getting the results and you have the proof.
I think that's, you know, when I say practice, it's because, you know, when I have taken courses or read articles or watched videos or whatever for my own learning, I'm like, do I go by this? Is this how I should be doing it? Does this really work? How do I trust that this person knows what they're talking about? Or, you know, I take what I've learned through those resources and I put them into practice, and then I didn't see the results, or my clients didn't see the results. So then I really felt like it was up to me to figure it out, to just do it and figure out what would work for my clients and how to grow my skills so that I could offer what I was saying I could offer. Mm. And so, yeah, after 5 years of that, I finally said, like, okay, I'm putting this into a course. Like, I have figured out what works and how to do this and how to deliver what I'm saying that I can deliver. So now I'm going to create these resources to help other people do that.
Yeah, I love that. It's so backed up. I mean, I say this all the time. A lot of freelancers at the beginning get wrapped up in like, I have to know everything before I start, or analysis paralysis, where they just keep reading and reading and reading, and you're consuming all this free content that isn't, there's no guardrails, there's no path, there's no roadmap. It's just like, this person said this, and this person said this, and this person said this, and this contradicts that, but this contradicts that, but this works. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so you get inundated with information that is either not helpful, contradictory, or just overwhelming. And the thing with that is like, you can read all day long, but if you don't try it, and even with your course, you could take your course, you could watch this entire course, read this entire course, and not get anything out of it. If you don't practice, like, you have to do the thing that you're reading about. You can't just read and have the answers. You will not know all the little intricate details until you actually do it. And that is such a practical learning advice. If you want to gain skills, just do the thing, just do it. And don't be afraid to mess up.
And it's okay. And a teacher in me, I went to school for education. I was a teacher for many years. Like, you have to do the thing to get good. You can learn all day, all week, all month, years. I mean, you can spend all the time learning, but you have to do it. And well, going back to my course, that was, you know, the teacher in me was there when I was creating it, like sprinkling in little activities throughout, because you really do have to practice it to figure it all out.
You can always use your own website as a sandbox, but the better way to learn, in my opinion, is to get a client that's relatively low stakes, a smaller company that doesn't have a huge presence, start running their blog. You will literally be getting paid to learn. And then at the end of your first 6 months, go back to them and say, or when you're selling the package originally, tell them you need to do a blog audit every 6 months. I offer it as a service, and then go audit their blog, and you will see where you made mistakes earlier on, and you can fix them for that client and still give them a really good service while still making money, and you're not jipping yourselves and you're not jipping them. And those results you can then take as proof, like Polly did, and share them on your social media, share them on your LinkedIn, wherever, in your portfolio, however you're advertising your services, to get more clients, better clients, higher paying clients with those skills that you've now learned. Getting paid to learn is the hack that I feel like a lot of freelancers are really scared to try, because you're like, oh, I'm going to let this person down. Oh, they're paying me. You could even do the 6 month audit for free or for a reduced cost or whatever. But I really do think the best way to learn is by actually doing the real life thing for a real client. Like, you can do it for yourself all you want, but it's not going to be the same.
So I said my first client was, they paid me $30 an article. My second client, like our very first exchange of messages, she was like, how familiar are you with SEO? And I literally Googled, what is SEO? Like, I never heard of that. I'd only written one for one client, and they, I guess, you know, and that was again like 5 years ago. I mean,
I had the same experience, like, yeah, literally the same thing.
And I was honest with her. I said, I'm really not familiar with SEO, but I will learn. And I ended up completely writing for and managing her blog for over a year. And she didn't pay me very well. And I didn't expect her to, because I told her, I was honest. I said, I really don't know what it is, but I will learn. I'll figure it out. I was using WordPress to run her blog. I didn't even have my own website at that time. So I had never worked with a website builder. Like, WordPress was like a foreign language to me. But again, like those experiences like that, where I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing, is how I've gotten to where I am now. Because now I feel like I can confidently do a lot, like, you know, a lot of these things. And like I said, she didn't pay me very well. So you can always start, like you said, by working with a smaller company that doesn't have a big budget, but no, they should start blogging and offer it for them and figure it out, and you'll learn as you go. And you can always refer back to Google or whatever other resources you have while you're working if you have questions. Or if you're in Pop Club, you can do like we do there, like, hey, I'm working on this project, not really sure what to do here, what should I do?
The best thing about Pop Club too is like, we have so many people weigh in. There'll be like four or five people will weigh in on whatever you're working on and be like, I've had this experience too, or like, this is what worked for me. And it's really, the camaraderie is really helpful too. Cause I never knew, like when I started writing, I didn't know anyone else who was having that experience, like you said, of like getting on a sales call and being like, I actually don't know, but I'll figure it out for you, you know? And I did that, and I was like, was that the right thing to do? Did I do something wrong? Am I going to not get this client? Right. And you panic a little because it's new, but you're never going to know everything. There's always going to be a time where you don't know the answer and where you feel scared or nervous or overwhelmed or intimidated. You just have to keep working through it. That's the only way that you learn.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, even with teaching, when I, you know, like I said, I was a teacher before this. I went to school for 4 years for it. I did a whole semester like in a classroom. And when I was a teacher, things happen every single day where I was like, what am I doing? What do I do here? This has never happened. I don't know what to do. And you just, you learn as you go and you get experience. And now, you know, I felt like I was drowning a lot of times as a freelance writer. And now 5 years in, I'm like really confident in my skills and feel like I can charge whatever I want to charge because I'm good at what I do. And I don't worry about not being able to find clients. Cause again, I feel like I'm good at what I do. Like, kind of hard for me to like talk this way because for so long I was like such an imposter. But yeah,
it's so cool to see you so confident. Like your confidence has grown so much in the past couple of years and it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think everyone can get there. I think the biggest thing is knowing that you really want to do it. It's worth it. And you're willing to put in the work. And
be persistent.
Yeah.
No matter what feelings.
You're okay with trying to figure it out too. Like you don't have to know everything. I think that's one of the biggest things too. Like going back to mindset. Like I think a lot of it is feeling nervous. Like, what if I get on a call with a client and I don't know how to answer this question? Or what if I do commit to this project, but then I'm halfway through and I really don't know what I'm doing? Or I don't even know how to get started. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, like, so what? Like, if it ends up being a disaster, it will not matter to them next week. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, it feels like the end of the world to have to end a contract or turn in something late or raise your rates or any of these things. But it's really not that big of a deal. Me and you both have turned things in late, had to end a contract, had to ask for more money. Like, this is just part of being a freelancer. You will get through it. And I think also, again, like not to shamelessly plug Pop Club forever, but like this is what community is for too, because people in our community everyone's gone through it pretty much, except for like the brand new freelancers who just joined. But that's the benefit of being a new freelancer. There's other people in that club who can tell you, it's okay. We've all been through this. This is how you write the email. Like we will write the email for you and let you know.
Yeah. Studies show that community really is like such a huge piece of the puzzle to being successful in whatever it is you want to be successful in. So if it's freelance writing, having a community of like-minded people who are doing the similar things can really, you know, put you in that mindset that you need to be in to be successful at it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's like the boost you need. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Holly. I think your story, the progress that you've made, honestly, on your mindset is the biggest deal, but the way that it ripples out throughout your career, like your confidence, your ability to get clients easily and quickly, your course, your rates now, you just moved to the U.S. Virgin Islands like it was no big deal. At least that's how it comes across to everybody else. But like these watching you grow over the past couple of years is such a testament to like the value of persistence and community and just like being willing to learn.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's kind of just the foundation of all of it, because I mean, you know this, I may or may not have just lost my biggest client a year ago. I would have woken up this morning feeling like nervous about it and anxious and all of those things. But I woke up this morning like excited, like I cannot wait to find another client and, you know, all of those things. And I think it all goes back to mindset and having a community and like all of the positive things that I guess I've kind of created because freelancing has allowed me to do these things. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I know the feeling. Back to this past Thanksgiving, I lost like 3 clients at one time. It was just an economics thing. For one day, I was completely terrified. And then I went and enjoyed my holidays with my families. And in January, I came back and I got 3 new clients that are so much better than the clients that I lost that I didn't even care. And I kept getting referrals this year, which was really nice. And I think, 2 years ago, I would have been freaking the fuck out. And I would have been like, maybe I should quit freelancing. Maybe I don't need to be a freelancer. Maybe this was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And it just, you just have to build up your mindset. It takes time, but it's also, it's completely worth it.
You can lose clients, but people who have a traditional job can also be let go at any moment. So like, these kind of things can come up for anyone in any sort of job. So you just have to figure out which lifestyle you prefer and keep going.
Yeah. That is the thing. I think about that a lot. I don't want to apply for jobs and I don't want to go to interviews and that kind of stuff. I would much rather deal with being a freelancer. But also like when I lost those 3 clients, I still had 2 other clients. I still had $2,000 a month coming in. So even if I lost those 2 clients, like, my life's going to be a little uncomfortable for a little bit, but I still have money. Whereas like if I had lost a job, you have nothing except maybe your savings if you're saving. I don't know.
Yeah. And a lot of jobs and the pay don't allow you to save. I know from experience as a teacher. So.
Well, thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much. It was so fun.
Can you share where can people find you online?
Probably the best place where all of the information is on my website, polycloverwrites.com. And on there, you can find the links to my resources, my blogging course, the toolbox, my personal blog, which has a bunch of information about writing, and my Instagram, LinkedIn, all that. So everything is on my website, polycloverwrites.com.
I had so much fun talking to Polly all about her journey to becoming an SEO expert, and I hope you guys did too. If you're interested in taking her course or learning more about her resources, like she said, you can find everything at polycloverwrites.com or at the link in this description of this podcast episode. We also talked a lot about Pop Club, and I wanted to let you guys know that we're doing a free month of Pop Club, 30 days for free when you join right now. The link for that is also in the description of this episode. If you didn't already know, Pop Club is a membership community for freelance writers. I share all of the resources that I've compiled over the past 5 years of freelance writing for other freelance writers. I also have a degree in teaching like Polly, and I love teaching people how to become freelance writers, how to increase their rates, how to manage their contracts better, how to get clients, all that and more. Plus, you'll have a community who can relate to everything that you're going through as a new freelance writer. So if you're interested in that, head to the link in the description below and you can try it for free for 30 days. Before you go, I also wanted to let you know about our free events coming up. We're doing pitch parties all month long in August. These are when we meet up on Google Meet and we all send out pitches together for an hour. It's a great way to find accountability and community as a freelance writer and get ideas for places to pitch or better methods of pitching. These events are free and open to the public. You can find the link for more information in the description below, and you can also add our free events calendar to your Google Calendar or iCal and know when all of our free events are happening so you can join us. Polly had talked in this episode about losing her biggest client, and she has actually already replaced them at our last pitch party, which is so amazing. She pitched them on Wednesday and already landed them by Friday. So if you want results like these, you should definitely show up to her pitch parties. They're completely free, and I know you're gonna love them as much as we do. All right, I'll see you the week after next with my friend Shelby Polk. She is a world traveler and freelance writer, and I cannot wait to share all the amazing travel tips she has for you. This podcast was created and produced by Rachel Meltzer. The music is by Ketza from the Free Music Archive. You can find more information about the resources discussed in this podcast in the show notes below or on our blog at meltzerseltzer.com/blog. That's meltzerseltzer.com/blog. Also, while you're here, did you know that I offer courses and coaching for new freelance writers? Check it out at meltzerseltzer.com/coaching.